Blog Talk Radio.
To the people and the Gentiles, Tommy Hart, the one the authorized version ascribes the name Lord God is real, appears among us with great news. A former preacher of the church and author of the book of the law of God, All Things, the Demonstrated Power of God. Lord God would like to share what he has discovered during what is now a 39-year study of the Authorized Version Bible, also known as the King James Bible. Coming from the Vatican, he comes to show Bible truths that have been hidden throughout Bible content. Lord God is real decrypts all things kept silent and in secret inside the pages of the AVB, aka the KJV, all with a level-headed, easy-to-follow analysis unlike any other. His Excellency logically restructures the AVB's confusing text and separates the subject matter into two categories: truth and fiction. He also defines with clarity what is meant by the terms Lord, in all caps, Christ, God, many other titles, and who claims them now in this day. His Majesty concludes, the Authorized Version Bible, written in the year 1611, is primarily a law book, a history book, a legal document, and the first law between the Pope of Rome, the papacy, and the Gentiles. In other words, those who are classified as white people. Knowing the AVB, written during the conquest of Africa, Lord God exposes the many laws of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelations, which include the law of Passover, the law of God, and the law of the curse carried out on African black people worldwide. It is established the Vatican is a governmental body institution hiding in plain view under the cloak of religion. Lord God is here because the Vatican called for him in the pages of the AVB. So without further ado, it is with great enthusiasm I bring before you the host of the show. Please join me in a warm round of applause, the magnificent Lord God Israel.
Much has been presented in a relatively short time. Threats coming from the Gentiles via the Christian church have been brought forth. The prayer of the Word of God to God has been heard. God has heard the Word of God's complaint. The cause of the Word of God has been considered. The Lord has considered the question in Malachi 3, verse 13, which asks, what have we spoken so much against thee? The statement in Psalm 78, verse 19, saying, they spake against God, is found to be true. The Gentiles speak contrary to the Word of God. It is found in the Christian church. The Christian ministers speak contrary to the Word of God. The question set in Acts 7, verse 1, asking, are these things so, has been dealt with and identified. Things that are so have been identified. Transgressions of the Gentiles have been shown. The Lord has recognized and identified the curse. He has given the object of the curse. The reason for the curse is given. John 9, verse 31 says, now we know that God heareth not sinners. That statement is found to be false. The statement in Proverbs 29, verse 24 says, "He, God, hears cursing, and he bewareth it not." The first part of the statement, "He hears cursing," is correct. The last part of the statement, "He bewareth it not," is false. The corrected form reads, "He, God, hears cursing, and he reveals it." The Lord has considered the statement in Galatians 6, verse 7, which says, "God is not mocked." But is that statement correct, or is it false? We shall see. First, let's define mock, M-O-C-K. Webster says of mark, of mock, that is, to hold up to scorn or contempt, ridicule. Two, Webster says, to imitate or mimic, as in fun or derision. Three, Webster says, of mock, to lead on and disappoint, deceive, to lie. And fourthly, Webster says, of mock, to defy and make futile, defeat. Example, Matthew 15, verse 6 says, "Ye have made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition." That statement is true. The Gentiles, by their traditional preaching of Jesus, have made the commandment of God of none effect. And in that, the Gentiles mock God. The third definition of mock, which says to lead on and disappoint, deceive, lie, "I say to the Gentiles," and this comes from Genesis 31, verse 13, "You vowed a vow to me." The Gentiles have vowed a vow to me. Isaiah 19:21 says, "They, the Gentiles, shall vow a vow to the Lord and perform it." The Gentiles have made a vow to the Lord God, Tommy L. Hart, saying, "We will serve thee." And that is set in 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 4. The Gentiles vowed to God, saying, "We will serve thee." They have led God on. They have lied to God. In Psalm 80, verse 18, the Gentiles have vowed to call on the Lord their God, Tommy L. Hart. They said, "We will call upon thy name." But they have not done so. The Gentiles, alias white people, vowed to serve the Lord their God, Tommy L. Hart. They vowed to call on their God, Tommy L. Hart. The Gentiles have also vowed to provide protection for their God, Tommy L. Hart. Job 11, verse 18, there the Gentiles say to God, "Thou shalt be secure." But they, the Gentiles, have not done so. They have not done as they said. They have not done as they have promised. So these three things, the Gentiles have vowed to serve God, the Lord, Tommy L. Hart. They have vowed to call on God, the Lord, Tommy L. Hart. And the Gentiles have vowed to provide protection for the Lord, their God, Tommy L. Hart. In these three things, the Gentiles have lied to God, and in these three things, they have mocked God. The Gentiles have vowed to God, but they have not performed anything to serve, to call upon, to protect. Vows the Gentiles have made to God. The word of God has a word for the liars, the mockers of God. In Acts 5, verse 4, the word says to the Gentile mockers, thou hast not lied to men, but to God. In these things, God is mocked. They mock God in their traditional teaching of Jesus, and they mock God in lying and not performing their vows. The things I have shown here, there are actually four things that I have shown thus far. Those things are solid evidence showing that God is mocked. And the evidence disproves the statement in Galatians 6, verse 7, which says, God is not mocked. What is truth? Truth is God is mocked by the Gentiles. And I'll get to that. The second definition of mock is to imitate or mimic, as in fun or derision. Psalm 111, verse 9 says, holy and reverend is his name. Whose name? God's name. What is God's name? God's name is Tommy L. Hart. So the statement says, Psalm 111, verse 9, holy and reverend is Tommy L. Hart. The Bible says holy and reverend are names, titles, belonging to and descriptive of God. The word tells us that there is none like God. God alone is holy, and God alone is reverent, on reverent. Definition of reverent. Webster says, worthy of reverence, deserving to be revered. Used with the as an honorific epithet for a member of the clergy. Prefixed to the first name or initials and last name. and in very formal use preceding another title, examples, the Reverend A.D. Smith, the Reverend Dr. Ann B. Smith, and the Reverend Mr. Jones. Webster gave those examples. Question. Are the Christian ministers worthy of reverence? Is the Pope of the Roman Catholic Church worthy of reverence? Are they deserving of reverence? Well, what have we found out about the Christian ministers, which includes the Pope of the Roman Catholic Church? Well, we have found out that they are all liars. We have learned that they all deal falsely. We have learned that they are all hypocrites. We now know they are all deceivers. They are workers of iniquity. Let's stop here. Five descriptors of Christian ministers: liars, false dealers, hypocrites, deceivers, workers of iniquity. That is the Bible's description of Christian ministers. Let me read that description again. They all deal falsely, speaking of Christian ministers, inclusive of and including the Pope of the Roman Catholic Church. He's a Christian minister. They all deal falsely. They are all hypocrites, and these things come from the Bible, and I have presented them to you before. They are all deceivers. They are workers of iniquity. Four, now let's be honest. Anyone fitting a description as such is certainly not worthy of reverence. Liars, false dealers, hypocrites, workers of iniquity, etc. So we can conclude that the Christian minister is not worthy of reverence. The Christian minister is abominable. So, why are they called reverend? Answer. God is reverend. And let me be clear. The Bible says God, the Lord, Tommy L. Hart, is reverend. We're not talking about a God that you cannot see, that you cannot hear, that you cannot feel or touch. We're talking about a living God. The Bible makes it clear. The living God, meaning you can see him. He can be seen, touched. Huh? The living God. God is reverend. The Christian ministers call themselves reverend in mockery of God and in mimicry of God so as to deceive or defraud. Calling Christian ministers reverend is just another way of the Gentiles mocking God. The Gentiles mock God in the way giving. Psalm 96, verse 7 says, give to the Lord. Well, the Lord has made himself known. He has come and he has made himself known. The Lord God, Tommy L. Hart. So the word says in Psalm 96, verse 7, it says to the people, give to the Lord. In this, the day of God, the people give to the Christian minister. They give to the Christian ministry. They give, but they do not give to the Lord their God, Tommy L. Hart, as commanded in the statement, Psalm 96, verse 7. They give, but they do not give to the Lord God, Tommy L. Hart. The people mock God, the Gentiles mock God in giving. The book of the law says in Psalm 150, verse 6, praise ye the Lord. As in giving, so it is with praising. The people praise the Pope. They praise their ministers. They even praise one another. But they do not praise the Lord, their God, Tommy L. Hart, as they are commanded to in Psalm 150, verse 6. They do not praise the Lord, their God, Tommy L. Hart. They mock God. So it is in praising, in giving, in mimicry, in lying, and in their tradition, the people, the Lord God, the Lord their God, Tommy L. Hart. The statement, Galatians 6:7, which says God is not mocked, is disproved. So, what is truth? Truth is God, the Lord, Tommy L. Hart, is mocked. So, that speaks for itself. The Gentiles mock God. So why do we have the statement there in Galatians 6:7 saying God is not mocked? That statement is there in order to, as a test, as I've said before, the Bible teaches on things and it gives tests, just as a teacher in a classroom with students. Things are taught, then time comes to take the test. And this is not the only statement that I have shown you that is false in the Bible. These things, this statement and others like it, are there to show the thoroughness of God, the thoroughness of his scrutiny, to show his understanding of things. The questions, or well, the statements also benefit God. Statements as God is not mocked. God is not mocked. They benefit God to keep him on track. Serves as a list of things to do. And it serves as a checklist. Well, I can check that off because I understand the matter. I know why the statement there, God is not mocked, exists there. I have understanding of that. I know all ways in which the Gentiles mock the Lord their God, Tommy L. Hart. And I have presented them to you, the people, in a very clear and understandable way, so that I can mark that statement as done. It is done. You know? So, the statements like that can serve as a checklist for God. Make sure he's getting the understanding that the writers of the law want him to get. So, God is mom. And you need to put that in your Bible. Put that beside that, that God is mom. And you can listen to this episode again and put reasons you know God is mocked, the reasons that I've shown, the ways in which God is mocked in giving, in praising, remember the statement, holy and reverend, those two terms apply to God, and there is none like God, and the ministers mock God by referring to and calling themselves holy and reverent. They take the things belonging to God and apply to themselves. That constitutes blasphemy, disrespect of holy things, and disrespect of God. That is blasphemy. So holy and reverend, those are titles that belong to God. Now, we have a few remaining minutes, looks like. Just a few. So let me see. The Bible says these things. I've been speaking on the curse and I've been giving reasons for the curse. I've done that. But also, let me just give these statements. Numbers 14:43. Because ye are turned away from the Lord, because ye, the Gentiles, are turned away from the Lord, that's Numbers 14:43, reasons for the curse. 1 Samuel 15:23, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. That is, because thou have rejected the word of the Lord. Jeremiah 44:22-23, because of the evil of your doings and because of the abominations which ye have committed, and because ye have sinned against the Lord and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord, nor walked in his law, nor in his statutes, nor in his testimonies. Reasons for the curse. The Bible has said, the law has said, the curse does not come without cause. And so you can just add these to the other causes or reasons I have already given. And do not forget to update your Bible with the statement, God is not mocked, insert there, God is love. Let me hear from you. Do not forget, join me on Twitter, Tommy L. Hart, hashtag Tommy L. Hart. And Hart is spelled H-A-R-T. So join me on Twitter. Around about 600 tweets there that I have done, that I have tweeted. So be sure and check me out on Twitter. Let me hear from you. And join me next time when the judgment continues.